That was St. Vincent doing Cheerleader off of her latest album, Strange Mercy. Right now, we are going to hear a track from our guest's latest album. It's called Feral, and we are going to be chatting with Me and Mountains here in just a moment. But first, let's hear the first track off of their new album. This one's called Hooks, and you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on WISO.
You know what I'm saying there, right?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. It was a little weird with you sitting right there, though.
Music from Me and Mountains. Their latest album is called Feral. That was the first track. It's called Hooks. And I am very happy to welcome the members of Me and Mountains into the studio. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Very happy to have you all back in the studio. It's been, gosh, about a year and a half.
Yeah. Just about, yeah.
Just yes. About. Well, tell me about sort of the road from the debut album to where we are now with Feral.
It was a long road.
Do it.
No, please. I defer to Marshall.
All right. Well, we knew when we were getting wrapped up with our first EP that we wanted to do another one, and we figured you know, we wanted to try our hands at recording it ourselves, and so we kind of used money that we'd saved up as a band and bought some equipment, and we started tracking ourselves in the practice space in January.
Yeah,
no, it was before that.
It's been like November.
It was like November 2010.
Okay, so that tells you how long it's been that we've been working on this and just kind of figuring out how to make ourselves sound all right.
Yeah, there was a pretty big learning curve. Yeah. Like, we didn't know, like, none of us really had any experience with that, so we were just kind of figuring it out and doing it all ourselves. So
that's kind of a cool way to learn, though, honestly, is to be able to go through the whole process and say that you guys did this from start to finish yourselves.
Oh, yeah, we're really, really proud of it.
Yeah.
We definitely had some help at the end to make it polished, though. You know, that took a little bit of outside help, but yeah, getting it all tracked was a lot of fun.
And so, had any of you guys had experience, you know, mixing albums or engineering albums before, or were you guys all like literally starting from scratch on this?
We knew a little bit.
Well, yeah, we tinker with stuff. You know, a lot of home recordings I think have gone down between the five of us, but. You know, nothing that I've taken too seriously anyway.
Yeah, we got to give a lot of credit as far as the band goes to Roger here. I think he did a lot of his homework and found out, you know, did a lot of reading on positioning microphones and how to make the drums sound good and all kinds of other stuff. And
yeah, he was definitely the mastermind behind this whole project.
Yeah.
Do you guys find that recording your own album gives you more control over the end product?
Oh, absolutely. I've never recorded in a studio, but I've heard horror stories about like people just watching the clock, and there's so much pressure on you. We didn't have that pressure, which I was very, very happy about, and I felt a little freer, like I could experiment a little bit more with the way things sound, like with different like amps and effects and like guitars,
like 30,000 pedals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we man. I mean, it was our own pace, but I'm glad we did that because a lot of these songs weren't written probably, I mean, as a full band, we hadn't really developed them until halfway through making this record, and it's some of the best stuff we've ever done, so.
Yeah.
And so I was going to ask, I mean, have these songs evolved over the recording process? It sounds like they definitely have.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had, I would say about 75% of it, like, kind of ready to go when we, you know, when we would start to record a song. We had most of it down, but through recording it, we kind of fleshed it out a little bit more. And there's two songs, actually one song we've never played live. It's Dayton, Ohio, which I think you're going to play.
I am, yes.
Awesome. That we have never played it live. That's a total studio creation, and it was pretty much just, you know, we were in this, like, in Roger's basement, and kind of just Burris laid down his part, and then I was like, well, I'll try something. It was just going to be Burris, you know, playing with his acoustic guitar, and then I laid down, like, a very kind of, like, almost ambient guitar line underneath it, and then Pete put some drums down, and Marshall did something, and then Roger put his keyboards down, and it... That's pretty much what you hear. And
Maria, of course.
And Maria, Burris's wife, Maria.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and that actually turned out to be one of my favorite songs on the album.
Is it a song that you're going to play live, or are you going to keep it strictly an album track?
I have no idea. We haven't really talked about that.
We have to convince my wife to sing on stage, though.
Oh, okay.
She'll do it.
She's excellent. She's a trooper. She's got a lot of stage fright like I do, but... I told her she has to do it. So, probably listening right now, so you have to do it.
It's been said on the radio. It has to happen now.
Right.
Yeah, there's only a little bit of full band at the end, so I think we would extend that probably if we played it live.
Make it like 10 minutes.
Yeah, just rock it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. No, I think we could extend that for like...
One song set.
What we just would do is launch into that rock opera that we've been working on.
Right.
Oh, perfect. Well, do you find that the home recording process and sort of what you've learned from that, has that influenced at all the way you guys tackle your live performances or the way that you guys play together as a live band?
Well, I think it's sometimes after it's recorded, and you can hear what you did, and you can hear maybe what, you know, from an outsider's perspective almost of how you think, oh, wow, I could have played it like this. Then you could play it like that live, and I've done that a couple times, play it like I think I should have played it. But it's been nice.
Yeah, I was going to say almost the exact same thing. Like, with our last album, I hadn't really heard those songs recorded, like, from, you know, someone else's perspective or, like, while I wasn't playing. And I didn't, like, fully, like, grasp the way what I was playing came across. And I could kind of analyze that, after the fact and, like, okay, that didn't work. So I play things differently on those songs now when we play them live. Whereas, like, with this one, we're... I could do it kind of on the fly as we were recording. Because the last one, we just recorded everything live. Like, Daryl Robbins.
Great job.
Yeah, he did an awesome job. But he just had his studio set up where all the microphones were there. We came in. It took, like, 3 days. And he hit record, and, like, we played everything, like, straight through. Where this one, it was kind of more piece by piece where I could, or we as a band could say, like, okay, well, my part doesn't fit with Marshall's. So, you know, one of us could alter what we were playing to kind of accommodate what someone else was doing or, you know, just, you know, fix it if I didn't really like what I was doing. I do feel a little bit more confident about putting stuff onto tape or, you know, onto recording now.
Because I think to answer your question, it kind of did change how we write songs and how it works, because our first album, like he was saying, it was all live, so we had to have that all ready to go. That's just how we play it, you know, when we do a show. But on this record, we could change a lot of things. That's why it took quite a while to do it, because, you know, we get to hear it and get to play it back and decide that didn't work.
It's our Chinese democracy.
Yeah.
Or whatever that
album's called. Well, Tell me a little bit about the actual album release. I know that you've been working on funding a vinyl project, which is really exciting. Why did you guys decide to put it on vinyl, or why did you want to put it on vinyl?
Because it doesn't seem like anyone wants to buy our CDs anymore. I don't know. I was looking at a chart of vinyl sales over the last 5 or 6 years. And it was something like 200-some thousand in, like, early 2000s. Now it's up to several million copies are being sold on vinyl every year. So, I mean, it's sort of making a comeback, and CDs are slowly kind of dying. I still love CDs. I mean, I can't play a vinyl record in my car, so...
Not yet.
Not yet.
we're gonna rig
giant
that up.
Slot-loading vinyl player.
Then a laser disc. So, you get next.
Oh. Before we get too far into this, we got to say thanks to Brian Witten, who helped us finish the record. After we had tracked and everything, we gave it to him, and he polished it up and made it sound way better than we could have ever done, you know, in the end. So,
yeah, he fixed all of our mistakes.
Yeah.
So, not my mistakes.
Well, I know that you guys, you had the Kickstarter campaign asking your fans to fund the vinyl release of Feral. And I know you made your goal. Congratulations. Or part of the goal, but you are still raising funds. Tell me a little bit about the decision to do it through Kickstarter. I know the Motel Beds had good luck with that late last year, funding their vinyl project. Do you guys see that as a kind of a way to really sort of ask the fans what they want to get behind the album?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, part of the reason we asked for $1,000 is because I knew it was going to take probably twice that to do vinyl, but, I mean, we had no idea people were going to put the money down to get something like that, so...
Especially as quickly as they did.
Yeah, I mean, 2 or 3 days, and we were pretty much at 1,000.
Yeah, we hit our goal in like 3 or 4 days.
So, and I think our quote from the pressing plant I talked to is probably like $1,800. But, I mean, I don't mind covering the rest of that if we can get some band money together. Because, I mean, that was extremely generous of those people. Some people gave us money and didn't even ask for a record. They even said, don't send me a record. I just wanted to help you out, which was really cool. Some guy in Canada was like, I just randomly found you guys, and he gave us like $35. And then later he's like, oh, a bunch of projects that, you know, I was backing. I just didn't end up backing those, so you guys can have more money. Wow. Didn't know the guys, just some dude.
It's been a really humbling experience. Just the, I don't know, the response is just really incredible.
But we were thinking if it stalls out, like, we'll probably just skip the sleeves and do freezer bags, I think we were talking about.
Yeah, if we can't afford the bags. Covers. Yeah.
And we're gonna Sharpie on the front of this. So it'll be good either way, though.
They'll be custom, like, handmade covers.
Yeah. Custom.
DIY.
Yeah. See, there you go. Well, that the Kickstarter campaign is still going. That's going on until, what, February 8th?
February 8th. Or 9th. So we're just going to do, if you want to pre-order it, that's where you... pre-ordered it essentially. So. Yeah.
And you get lots of other fun bonus
goodies
too. You can get buttons and stickers.
Yeah. T-shirts.
We have drink cozies.
Can win a date with the five of us.
Oh, fabulous.
That's true. You can take us up.
I think we take you out.
Oh, we take them out.
Yeah. Yeah, some prize that would be. Like, oh, you get to take us out to dinner.
Well, we'll get a link up on our Facebook page for your Kickstarter account. That way, if people want to still chip in, there's still plenty of time they can. Before we go any further, let's give the folks a little listen to if they want to get it on vinyl, if they want to chip in. Here's what you would be funding. We'll be back to talk more with Me and Mountains. This is another track from their new album, Feral. This is called In My Time of Sorrow, and you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on WISO.
Well, I've done my very best, and I tried to do what's right, I swear. So comfort me in my time of sorrow. Comes way too soon, sun will devour the moon into its fiery womb to be born again. The earth sits bare in spite of its humans to wait alone for impending doom. It lifts its hands to ask for a second chance.
From Me
Canadian Mountains. That's from their album Feral, and it's called In My Time of Sorrow. We've got the band here in the studio. Welcome back, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You guys have some pretty cool live gigs coming up. I know you're performing at Dayton Does Dayton at Canal Street Tavern. That's the February 3rd and 4th. Yep. So you guys going to give it away? Who are you guys covering?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Is it a deep, dark secret?
Not really.
No,
not really.
It's, I mean, we're covering Guided by Voices, of course. I think every other band doing the show is covering Guided by Voices.
It's not a bad band to cover.
No.
I've heard they're kind of popular.
A couple people have heard of them.
They've got a few songs out there.
I think they have like one or two.
Yeah,
like,
one or two records, I think, out, right?
what is it like? Well, first of all, picking, you know, from, you know, even the Guided by Voices catalog, but choosing which bands you're going to cover for something like that. What goes into that decision? Is it just, you know, what you guys like or what you think would fit your sound the best or?
Yeah, I think we kind of learned that. We're going to be covering our friends, the Motel Beds, and we had a song picked out. We tried to pick out songs that we liked, you know, or we thought we could pull off. But, yeah, you know, we're a quite different band than they are. We tried to play at Moon Dazed, and it just was not working.
Yeah, it was not happening.
So we're going to be doing a song off Feelings.
Yeah,
which I think worked out really well.
Which is our favorite record by them.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And they're awesome, sure. So we're excited to be playing one of their songs. Hopefully we do it justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully. And we're also covering Rolly Yuma, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I heard you guys have a recording project coming up with them as well.
We do.
Yeah, we're doing a split with them. It's going to be hopefully two originals from each band and one cover. So we already had that kind of planned, and then the Dayton Does Dayton thing came up, so we figured, you know, why not play that at Dayton Does Dayton?
Mm-hmm.
So
by two covers for the split, are you guys covering each other's songs?
Yes.
Or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Is that at all intimidating to, like, it's one thing to cover, you know, somebody's song who may, you know, may not be in the audience and may not hear it, but is it intimidating, like, to cover, say, a Motel Bed song or a Rolly Yuma song and have them standing there in the audience?
I think it's fun.
I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I think it's a little more interesting because then, like, I'm kind of more interested to hear if, like, what Rolly Yuma is going to do with our song.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just kind of, like, they're a different band. Like, they attack, like, most of their music is way different from us. They're a little louder, a little bit more like progressive. So I'm really interested to hear like what they're gonna do with our like little pop song.
Well, moving forward from Dayton Does Dayton, then the following Sunday Sunday at Blind Bob's, you guys are participating in a benefit show. Tell me about that.
Well, this benefit show is for an organization called Love 146. And Dayton obviously has a, you know, they call it a task force. And their mission basically is to help abolish sex trafficking. So this show at Blind Bob's, is just a benefit for them. All the door will go to Love 146. And, you know, we've said any merch and stuff that we sell, we're just going to give it straight to them. It's a really, really great cause. And our friend Elizabeth Lennon, you know, she asked us to do it. And we're going to be playing with Grenades, Abertooth Lincoln, and
April Angel, I think.
What's it?
April Angel.
April Angel. So, you know, this should be a good show. It should be a good cause. So.
And a lot of fun.
And, you know, I have to give their website. It's love146.com or .org. So go check it out. It's good stuff.
Is it, what's it like to be able to use your music to be able to help out, you know, your community or help out a cause that you believe in?
I don't know. This is the first thing we've done, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we hadn't really, you know, considered that before. And I'd heard of Abertooth Lincoln doing that quite a bit. And, it just seemed like it made sense, you know, because we show up and we play our music and have fun. And then they hand us money, but we're the ones having fun, so it just kind of makes sense to help people, you know, with that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
Well, moving forward into the rest of the year, what do you guys have planned? More recording? Are you guys going to try to get out on the road at all, or just stick mostly around here for live shows?
Regional, probably.
Regional, yeah. I think we're going to try to get right back into recording. Just, get right back into it, I think.
With how long it took us to do this one.
Yeah, we probably should.
But we learned a lot, so, you know, we have a couple releases planned, so. Yeah.
I think the next few will go much quicker than the last one. Hopefully, fingers
we
crossed.
We say that now.
Well, we're going to try a studio for the next one.
Yeah.
We're going to let Brian record it. So, he said we did a good job, but but he said, you know, I can make you sound good. So I was like, all right. We'll do that. So we're going to try that next. Yeah. So that one will come out a lot quicker. We're hoping like April. And then we may try and do another one ourselves just because now we've learned some things. We've learned all the mistakes we made. We think we can, you know, do a little bit better. So we want to try it again eventually.
Do you guys think that having done it yourselves and now going into a studio situation, do you feel like you'll be smarter or better prepared to tackle recording in a studio setting?
Absolutely.
We kind of know what to look for in a lot of things now. If something's not going the way that we think it should, you know, we can go ahead and mention that, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of get it moving the way we want it to, rather than, you know, oh, yeah, no, that was good. It's good, move on.
And then hearing the end product and not being happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if people want to keep tabs on you guys online on upcoming shows and all that, where can they go?
Well, right now, the Facebook is the best resource for us. Also, if you go to meandmountains.com, there's links to our social networking sites.
The abandoned MySpace site.
The ghost town.
My what?
So, Facebook's good, or just, you know, you can call us.
I think we have a Sangha.
We'll hang out.
All sorts of ancient social media.
Yeah. Write me a letter.
There you go.
Think about setting a BBS up.
Courier pigeons. Mm. Whatever works. We'll answer.
You can go to our GeoCities webpage.
Oh, see, I thought it would be angelfire.com.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, is there anything else you want people to know before they check you guys out, either at Dayton Does Dayton or at Blind Bob's on the 12th, or go check out that Kickstarter page and kick in a little bit for the vinyl?
Yeah, if you like what you hear, just get on our Facebook or meandmountains.com, and the Kickstarter's the best way to get our new music.
You can take us all out to dinner?
Yeah. I think $5 is the lowest pledge.
Yeah, $5.
I'll get you.
You can donate a dollar if you want
some
to.
Of our music.
Those are just the reward amounts, you know?
Just give us money.
Yeah.
We'll give you t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's hear another track from Feral. This is the latest from Me and Mountains, and this track is called Dayton, Ohio. Thank you.
That was Dayton, Ohio, from Me and Mountain's latest album. It's called Feral, and you can get your very own vinyl copy and support them getting that album out there. We've got links up to their Kickstarter page on our Facebook page. We're facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Guys, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Juliet.
Very glad to have you here. Me and Mountains, check them out. You can see them live as part of Dayton Does Dayton. It's at Canal Street Tavern February 3rd and 4th. They're also going to be playing at Blind Bob's on February 12th. It's part of a benefit show for Love 146, a local organization whose goal is to help abolish sex trafficking here in the Miami Valley. Check them out. Me and Mountains, good stuff. Right now we're going to hear some new music from Kathleen Edwards. This is from her album Voyager, and it's called Empty Threats.